Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Isaiah, and we're in chapter 9. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
The Assyrians were brutal, but that day they had to go back to Nineveh with their heads down and their arms and shoulders diminished. The Bible says they got up that morning and they were all dead. And you say, well, who got up if all were dead? Well, they had squires and things of that nature. All these people, they could be waking up and all of the soldiers are dead. If you were a man of the sword, you died by the sword. 185,000 was what was dead that day. So when he talks about dimness, it was really dim for them. This is 730 years before Christ that this was taking place. And Isaiah is talking to them about dimness. He says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. The word vexation means lightness. Now notice in this one verse, he's got dimness, vexation, affliction, and afflict. Okay, these four words are talking about some really bad things. Now what did I tell you about the title? Last week it was the first gospel. Now I'm talking about a fuller gospel. A fuller gospel. We're not just going to get the crucifixion. We're going to get it all. Okay, hold on with me. This gets good. Okay. So what you're seeing is dimness, vexation, affliction, afflicted and afflict. All those words get worse and worse as you go along. It starts out with vexation, which just has the idea of just distress, a little constraint. They were a little bit, you know, their situation was a little cramped, but it was uncomfortable, but nothing. Then it got worse. It got a little bit light, a little bit of light, overt kind of stuff. And subsequently got heavy. That's the next word. It has the idea of getting heavy. And finally, it's grievous affliction. Now, this is weighty, and this is insensibly weighty. Okay, this was overwhelming. Now, what I want you to do is put your mind around what you know. In Scripture, you know that God oftentimes will give us a small little something to look at. Like I said about Sodom. Sodom was really a little microcosm of what you might say all of Canaan was. All of Canaan was like that. By the time 400 years had passed when Abraham got the promise, Canaan was completely degenerate. It was degenerate. I mean, it was terrible. We live in America, so most of us in this room have grown up in a day where people, you know, kind of respected each other a little bit. There's a lightness of spirit. It's not quite like that today. Most of us have seen the ground shift quite a bit under us in these days. And we've heard stories, haven't we? We've heard stories about bakers and photographers and people who host parties and so forth being against maybe, you know, hosting maybe a gay wedding or something like that because of conscience. Because of conscience. They didn't want to do flowers and they didn't want to take pictures. They didn't want to, you know, they just couldn't celebrate that with the people. They'd do anything else for them. They'd make them cakes for their, you know, for their birthdays. They'd make them whatever. But they just didn't want to participate in a wedding. One woman spent some time in jail. Several have lost their livelihood. Why? Because they said, you know, listen, I just don't want to. My conscience says no. And they say, listen, I know a guy down the road. We worked together for years. I know you. You know me. It's not anything. I just don't really think I can participate in that issue. It wasn't meanness. It wasn't hatefulness. But these people have had what? Constraint. They've had light, you know, affliction. And there's going to get greater affliction. You can almost count on it, right? Can we see that what has been said in the past, the only thing we learn from history is we don't learn from history? Can we see that? It's coming. It's going to happen. But there's affliction. And what you have to realize is that the affliction goes from small constraints to light affliction, to heavy affliction, to grievous, insensible kind of stuff. Now, what we don't see, because our media fails to report it, is that the entire world today is against Christianity on steroids. It's never been as bad as it is today for literally killing Christians. Killing them. We're in America. You're kidding. Really? Right? Listen, you get on your Bing or your DuckDuckGo or whatever, and you look up the number of persecution areas in our world. You've got India, you've got China, you've got all of the African countries. Wherever there's a strong Muslim presence, they're taking Christians out. They're bombing churches. You could be here today, and the church would be in jeopardy if we were located in certain lands of our day. And you need to realize that it's serious. And that's kind of why I'm doing the run-in on the full gospel. Just like last week, I wanted you to get the run-in. The big picture, what's going on down here? What is going on down here? Well, the, The first gospel kind of shows us what's going on because that's where everything was imagined. That's where everything started. But here the fullness is given to us. And when you see this, if you can take verse 1 and put your mind in what all this is going to give way to, you're going to remember about a thing called the tribulation. Remember the tribulation? The Bible tells us there's going to be 7 years of Jacob's trouble. He's going to have 7 years. There were 490 years were determined in their history, from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild and so forth, all the way till Messiah would come would be 483 years. And then there's seven. And it says that when Messiah comes, 483 years, and after that he'd be cut off. He rode into Jerusalem on the very day we celebrate as Palm Sunday. When he came in on that day, it was that very day to the day. You go to Palm Sunday next year, you remember, that's the day Jesus was prophesied to come, to the day, 483 years earlier. It takes your breath away. But then the clock stopped because it was 490 years. There's 7 years left, tribulation. Constraint, light, heavy, insensibly heavy. Nevertheless, it won't be like that. That's what he's saying. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as you've had. Okay, what's happening is he's beginning to say there's going to be some hope. Isaiah wanted to get to chapter 40. He's back here tonight. He wanted to get comfort, ye my people. But he has been told to tell them all of the things that were going to come and some bad things were going to come. He says, but it's not going to be as the dimness of what you're going to see there. There's something going to happen. Things are going to give way to a better day. And when you read your Bible, you realize 7 years of tribulation. And it's going to hurt more. Hurt devastatingly, but those people are going to be turned. And the book of Zechariah tells us in chapter 12 that they're going to see him whom they pierced, and they're going to mourn for him as for an only son. They're going to ask him questions like, where did you get these wounds in your hands? He said, I got them in the house of my friends. You see, they missed him. They missed the Messiah. And so, the scriptures are definitely telling us that God has got a plan that is going to be good for Israel. But right now, Israel's in a bad place. And they're under an affliction of its own, really. And we're going to look at that in a moment. But he says, in the days to come, it won't be quite like this. The Bible says in verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light shined. Now, there are several verbs in there. Walked, seen, dwell, shined. What you don't get in the sense from the translation is that these are all in the perfect tense as if they're happening right at the moment. It says the people that are walking in darkness. Who's walking in darkness today? The Bible tells us that there is a blindness that's come over Israel for a season. And this blinding is judicial because of the things that they had gone through with the Lord when he came. The Bible says in Romans 11:25, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So God says there's a judicial blindness over these people. It's partial. We have Jews for Jesus and other organizations out there that win Jewish people. But it's a very small segment of Jewish society that comes to know their Messiah on this side of the tribulation. Why? Because there's a judicial blindness. And if you look at Israel, they're a miracle in their own right. By the time that 70 AD came and Titus of Rome went down and wiped out Jerusalem, razed it to the ground to where it was so decimated there was nothing really worth looking for. It was burnt with such heat that the gold in the temple was melted in between the bricks. They pried the bricks apart just to get to the gold. This was a devastation. Okay, that's what happened to them in 70 AD. They were not a nation until 1948. God said they'd be a nation, they'd be there, things would happen in the last days, Israel would become a cup of trembling and a rock of offense to the nations, and nobody'd know what to do with them, a burdensome stone. This is what God said, but they were gone. They couldn't be. You go back into the 1800s and you read commentaries about these things, only a very few amount of commentators really translated that as if Israel was going to be back. Some did, some held on to what God said and took it face value. But many of them started calling the church Israel. The church is not Israel. The church is the church. And thank God, because we get to be the bride of Christ. We get raptured out of here when God's done, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and God's done with us doing what we can in this time of the Gentiles. He pulls his bride out, and then he begins to let the tribulation happen, and then Israel becomes a focal point of the world again, in a way unlike it had been since the days of Egypt. Israel was kind of a big name in history, but not since that time. So I wanted you to see there's something going on here. The people that walked in darkness. Did I just explain that to you, who they are? These are the people walking in darkness. What did they do? They have seen a great light. See, the dimness is not going to be like the dimness when Assyria came and wiped out the northern kingdom. It's going to be an amazing time. These are people who walked in darkness for 2,000 years at this point. And they're going to see him whom they pierced. It says they are seeing a great light. I love the way that the prophet writes it, because it's as if he sees it himself in real time. It's like the Lord reveals it to him. We've seen some stuff like that in our study of Jeremiah, that in fact the prophet begins to say, I'm looking around and all I see is dead bodies. Well, what this prophet is seeing is, you see, the people that are walking in darkness are seeing a great light. They that are dwelling in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. What an amazing thing. It is shining in reality. They've dwelt there. They're dwelling in the land of the shadow of death. Now, folks, you know, that's kind of a phrase we're familiar with because of the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, right? These are words we're familiar with. The problem is most people will personalize that in a time of great trial if they're just a person who's familiar with it cognitively. They know it. Maybe mom or loved one, a grandmother, or somebody passed away, and you're at the funeral, and some pastor's up, and they're reading that. Yeah, I've heard that, and yeah, I'm comforted. But the fact is, if you don't know Jesus, the land of the shadow of death is nowhere near comforting. There's no comfort for a lost person in those places. That place is the place where you're looking over the side. You just know you're going to fall in. These people have lived there for a long, long time. If you went to Israel today, a large portion of the Israelite population over there are atheists, agnostics. They don't really have a faith per se. They know their roots, which is weird because they honor their roots. And sometimes during real straits, they would, you know, say, oh, I'm German or whatever, and kind of assimilate and try to look like, you know, I don't know who they are. But in reality, these folks over there, they're very proud of their Jewishness. It's in their DNA. Why? Because God puts it there. Okay? It's a God thing. It really is. Only God could make a people like this not want to, what you might call, water down their heritage to the point where they look like everybody else. Because every time you turn around, the world's on the warpath trying to wipe them out in some way. Hitler. But that's not all. I mean, you got Haman in the Old Testament. You got Hitler. You got Herod wiping out people. Kills a whole cross-section of children because the Messiah was born. You're looking at history all the way through. And wherever Jews were, the pogroms in Russia, you know, they just lived there, but they never assimilated. They were just a pocket of people. And so when you see the history, you begin to see what's going on here. The prophecy before us is one that says tribulation is coming, but it's not going to be the kind of dimness you had when you had Assyria coming. What kind of dimness is it going to be? It's going to be a tribulation. It's going to be a great tribulation. It's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be so bad, the Bible says, it's going to be such tribulation, such as the world's never known before and never will know again in Matthew 24. It's going to be a great tribulation. Now, guys, part of that tribulation is you won't be able to buy or sell unless you take a mark in your hand or your forehead. You won't be in anywhere in the world able to buy or sell. You know what that means? That means that couldn't happen till now. We're living in a technological age. There's going to be two witnesses preaching during that time. 144,000 Jewish male evangelists are going to go out and preach. And what are they going to preach? They're going to preach Jesus. Okay, that's what they're going to preach, Jesus. And when they preach Jesus, what are they going to do? They're going to bring multitudes of Gentiles to Christ. What is that? That is God getting out of Israel what he always wanted. He always wanted them to be a witness.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. We so appreciate you taking time to listen to these daily broadcasts. This week we have a special invitation for you. We're having our candlelight service on Christmas Eve at 8 o'clock. We'd love to have you join us for this special time to focus ourselves upon the true meaning of Christmas. It would be a wonderful time to come out and join us in person as we go to the Word and reflect upon the real meaning of Christmas. God bless and Merry Christmas.